This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Not too long ago in the distant past, there was a teacher who was really concerned for the welfare of his students. And so concerned he was that he gave them the questions of the exam well in advance of the examination, so that none of them can say they were caught off guard. And as a result, his students divided into three distinct categories. The first category of students didn't believe the teacher that there was an impending exam. And so they didn't prepare and they threw away the questions. And they suffered during the exam and they suffered the consequence of failure after the exam. The second category of students believed the teacher that there was an exam that was coming, but they chose to delay preparation. They procrastinated until the exam came. They suffered during and after the exam as well. It was only the third category of students who not only believed the teacher, but they made the necessary preparations for the exam very early on. And so they found the exam to be one of ease. And they prospered and they passed with flying colors afterwards as well. In this analogy, the teacher is none other than our Honorable Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the students are those who lived during his time and those who come after him till the end of time. And as for the exam, this is the inescapable interrogation that you and I will experience before the King Allah Jalla Jalaluhu in his court. And as for the questions of this exam, this is what we will be discussing if Allah permits in this khutbah this afternoon. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, he said, فَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الَّذِينَ أُرْسِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. We are going to ask the people to whom the messengers were sent to, and we're going to ask the messengers themselves. All shall be questioned. And Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, he said, وَإِنَّهُ لَذِكْرٌ لَكَ وَلِقَوْمِكَ وَسَوْفَ تُسْأَلُونَ. The Quran is a reminder for you and your nation, and you shall all be asked. This is an examination that nobody will be late for. No excuses will be accepted. And the concept of retakes is non-existent. And from the mercy of Allah Almighty, we have not been left in the dark. For those who wish to make an early preparation before that standing, before Al-Malik, the King Allah, knowledge of these questions have been given for us, so that we can make a preparation today. And from these questions, I will share with you 10. As for the first of these questions that you and I are to expect, there is going to be a question about our salah, our prayer. There is going to be an interrogation in agonizingly excruciating detail about every element of the salah. The standing, the quality of the bowing, the duration of the prostration, the quality of your wudu, the time of your prayer, how you covered yourself, the prayers of the past that you may have missed, the prayers you did not repent from missing. There is going to be a question about it all. And we have been warned. And that is why our beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith which Abu Hurairah narrates and is documented by At-Tirmidhi in his Jami'. He alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Inna awwala ma yuhasabu bihi al-'abdu yawm al-qiyamati min 'amalihi salatuhu." The very first action that man will be asked about in front of Allah from all of his deeds is the salah, the prayer. He said, "Fa in salahat faqad aflaha wa anjah." If the prayer is complete, this person would have prospered and would have succeeded. وَإِنْ فَسَدَتْ فَقَدْ خَابَ وَخَسِرَ. If, however, the prayer is deficient, then he is in ruins, and this person had failed. He said, فَإِنِ انْتَقَصَ مِنْ فَرِيضَتِهِ شَيْءٍ قَالَ الرَّبُّ انْظُرُوا هَلْ لِعَبْدِي مِنْ تَطَوُّعٍ فَيُكَمَّلُ مَنْ تَقَصَ بِهِ مِنَ الْفَرِيضَةِ. And if the prayer is deficient in any way, before this person is punished, Allah will say to the angels, look, does he have any other extra prayers that we may use to patch up the obligatory one? He says, ثُمَّ تَكُونُ سَائِرُ أَعْمَالِهِ عَلَى هَذَا. He said, the rest of your deeds will be assessed in the exact same manner. So when it comes to charity, zakah will be looked at, the obligatory one. If it is lacking, Allah Almighty will tell the angels, look into the voluntary sadaqah. Fasting, siyam of Ramadan will be looked at, the obligation. If it is lacking, the other extra fasts of Mondays and Thursdays, etc. will be looked at. And the rest of our deeds will be assessed in the same way. So how does one prepare for this question if he is afraid? By making sure he repents from prayers he has missed in the past. Makes them up according to the majority of the scholars. Perfects his wudu and the bowing and prostration. Organizes his or her day around the salah. And amasses as many extra voluntary salah that you and I will be saved by on the day of judgment if the obligation is lacking. That is question number one. As for question number two that you and I are to expect, there is going to be a question about an-na'im, the delights. All of the blessings that we are enjoying from head to toe, the macro, micro, material, immaterial, religious and unreligious blessings. There is going to be a question about them. La ilaha illallah. Allah said, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Then you are going to be asked on that day about the delights. Qatada ibn Di'amah al-Sudsi, he said, al-Sadusi, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَائِلٌ كُلَّ ذِي نِعْمَةٍ فِي مَا أَنْعَمَ عَلَيْهِ. Allah will ask every recipient of a blessing about that blessing. And according to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, some drinkable water and some basic dates and some simple meat will be questions that will be asked about on the day of judgment. According to him, they were delights. And that is when once he came out of his house because of hunger in the middle of the night. And he bumped into Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma in the streets of Medina. He said to them, ما أخرجكما? What has caused you to leave your homes during this hour of the night? They said, الجوع يا رسول الله. Hunger, O Messenger of Allah. And he said to them, وَأَنَا وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ مَا أَخْرَجَنِي إِلَّا الَّذِي أَخْرَجَكُمَا. And similarly with me, he said, I swear by Allah, what caused me to leave my home is what caused you to leave yours. Hunger. They knocked on the door of an Ansari companion who hosted them. He offered them water and then some basic dates. He said to them, give me a moment. And he went out and he slaughtered an animal for them, then presented them with some meat. And when they had finished eating, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam looks at Abu Bakr and Umar and he said to them, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ عَنْ هَذَا النَّعِيمِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. He said, I swear by Allah who possesses my life, we are going to be asked about these delights on the day of judgment. Water, dates, some meat. What then, alhamdulillah, of the Muslim of the 21st century, drenched from head to toe in favors that the kings of the past never dreamt to experience. Water on demand, hot and cold, sanitation on demand, food at the click of a button. Homes cozier, more spacious than ever before. Furniture more inviting than ever before. Instant communication, opportunities to trade. And that is why Abu Dharr would say, ذُو الدِّرْهَمَيْنِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَشَدُّ حِسَابًا مِنْ ذِي الدِّرْهَمِ. The one who used to possess two dirhams in his pocket will find it more difficult on the day of judgment than the one who had only one dirham. We are going to be asked about the delights. That is question number two. As for question three, four, five, six, and seven, these five are found in one hadith. The hadith which At-Tirmidhi narrates in his Jami' on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تزول قدم ابن آدم يوم القيامة من عند ربه حتى يسأل عن خمس. The feet of man will not move from the presence of Allah till he is first asked about five things. Meaning we are not going anywhere till we manage to find answers to five questions that are inescapable. What are they? Here they come. عن حياته فيما أفناه. Your life, what you did with it. وعن شبابه فيما أبلاه. And your youth, how you spent it. وعن ماله من أين اكتسبه وفيما أنفقه. And your money, how you earned it and how you spent it. Number five, وماذا عمل فيما علم. And what you did with the knowledge that you acquired. No one can say they haven't been warned. Here are the questions. Open book exam. He said your life and what you did with it. Your 60, 70, 80 years, our lives, if we wanted to summarize them in one word, sentence or paragraph, what would it be? There will be a question about that on the Day of Judgment. Then there will be a question about the youth, as you just heard. When you felt that your desires peaked, when your impulse, your urge as a young man or woman rocketed through the roof, how did you behave? How did you manage that? When you compare yourself as a young man, a young woman, with your peers and how they behave, are you the same? Are there parallels? Or are you distinct in your behavior as a practicing Muslim? That's question number two. Then money, number three. How you earned it? The opportunities of making cash today are so many. Are you one who subscribes to, by any means, necessary policy in life? How are you making your money? Does it even cross your mind to say, is this halal or haram before investing? And then how you spent that money, where is it going? These are questions we are to expect in front of Allah. And then what you did with your knowledge. A basic khutbah like this afternoon. This is knowledge we are gaining. Will it be translated into application or will it be another one added to the archives of our memory? This is a question. Question number eight. Allah has promised that there is going to be a question about the senses that we have been blessed with. Al-Hawas. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu said, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. Don't pursue that which you have no knowledge of. Why? إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا. Because indeed the hearing and the seeing and your heart, all of these matters shall be questioned, Allah Almighty said. So one who is afraid of the prospect of being asked of his limbs and senses will lower his gaze when haram presents itself in front of him, and will cover his or her ears when haram presents itself to him, and will protect their heart when doubts about their religion come in. They will learn and ask the people of knowledge, and they will protect their hearts from the prohibited attachments. That is question number eight. As for question number nine, there is going to be a question about how you and I behaved when we saw evil unfold in front of us. La ilaha illallah, may Allah forgive us. And this is a frightening one indeed. When you saw something prohibited happening in front of you, what was your knee-jerk reaction? Was it live and let live? Was it each to their own? Was it don't go around judging people to the rest of these meaningless statements? Or were you a person who was concerned about the welfare of your friends, your family, your colleagues, your society? You tried to give advice wherever appropriate and possible. And should you be unable to advise, did you stay there enjoying yourself with them, or did you vacate the scene as Allah Almighty wants from us when unable to speak or do something about it? And that is why in a terrifying hadith, which Ahmed narrates in his Musnad on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna Allah la yas'alu al-'abda yawm al-qiyamati hatta yas'aluh ma mana'aka idh ra'ayta al-munkar an tunkirah." Allah will ask a person on the Day of Judgment with so much detail till Allah will ask man, "Why did you not prohibit the evil when you saw it happening in front of you? Why didn't you do that?" Allah will ask him. The hadith continues, فَإِذَا لَقَنَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا حُجَّتَهُ قَالْ يَا رَبْ رَجَوْتُكَ وَفَرِقْتُ مِنَ النَّاسِ. The hadith says, if Allah wants good for this person who fell short, if Allah wants good for this person, Allah will inspire him to say the following words, "My Lord, I had hopes in you and I feared the people." He's honest. "My Lord, I have hopes in you. And to be honest, I was afraid of the people." And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, "Ala la yamna anna rajulan haybatun nasi min an yaqula bihaqqin idha alima." No man should allow his fear of people to prevent him from speaking the truth when he comes to learn of it. This hadith made some of the Sahaba cry, including Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, the narrator of the hadith. He said, "Qad ra'ayna wallahi ashiya' fahimna." Wallahi, we have seen evil things happening and we were too scared to speak about it. And he also said, "Wadidtu anni lam akun sami'tu." I wish that I had not come to learn of this hadith. It's a responsibility. So when sat with friends, and sat with colleagues, and when sat with families, we have an obligation, if haram is happening, to change it. If you are unable to speak out against it, minimally vacate the scene and ask Allah Almighty for tawfiq and help. That is question number 9. As for the final question that I wanted to share with you this afternoon, there is going to be a question about our actions at large. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu said, فَوَرَبِّكَ لَنَسْأَلَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. By your Lord, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are going to ask them all about what they used to do. And some of the last words which our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam communicated to the Muslims in the farewell pilgrimage, he said to them not long before he died, he said, وَإِنَّكُمْ سَتَلْقَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ. You're going to meet your Lord. فَسَيَسْأَلُكُمْ عَنْ أَعْمَالِكُمْ. And he's going to ask you about what you used to do. Days before a final year exam, we are in a state of emergency for ourselves or our children, fearing the prospect of failure. And if we don't feel a similar type of urgency and restlessness and anxiety, if not more, for the Day of Judgment's questioning, then we are still sleepwalking. We are still in a deep state of acoma, and we are truly not appreciating the enormity of what is coming our way. Why? Because failing an exam today is to do a retake tomorrow. Failing the exam in front of Allah is to fail in our eternity. قُلْ إِنَّ الْخَاسِرِينَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَهْلِيهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah said, the true loss is when a person loses himself and his family on the Day of Judgment. أَلَا ذَٰلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينَ. That indeed is the manifest loss. We ask Allah to protect us from this outcome and to inspire us with aid and tawfiq to prepare well in advance of our meeting with our Honorable Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala.